the message is called The God of All Comfort. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. And so God is the God of all comfort. That's a name for God we don't usually hear. It's a name that we hear, give me a name for God. Jehovah Jireh, which is God my provider. How about another name for God? Jehovah my flag, Nisi, right? My flag, huh? Almighty God, right? You have another name for God. Rapha, healer, God my healer. But God, comfort is a big name for God in Paul's eyes. And yet you don't really hear that preached much at all. And I think part of the problem is our word for comfort isn't really what Paul had in mind. So when we think of the word for comfort, we think of something that's maybe nice, that we could actually be relaxed, right? Maybe enjoy sitting in, not being in pain, right? And Paul says, actually, he contrasts the word comfort with pain. It's like our suffering is so that you can be comfortable for your comfort. Now, what is Paul getting at? Okay, well, let's look at another thing. I'm throwing out some ideas for you. How about Luke chapter 6, verse 24? Ronnie preached last week on, he mentioned the Sermon on the Mount, and he mentioned the fact that he says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, in the book of Luke, Jesus not only said, Luke chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus not only said, blessed are the poor, but he said, woe are you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. That word consolation is really the word comfort. So here you have the word comfort used in a way that I wasn't really thinking about, right? What we're usually thinking of is, are you comfortable? Like, are you sitting in a comfortable chair? Is that okay? But this is not really what Jesus means by that, is that? He says, you know, so comfort is something more than just being able to relax. It's got to be, because why would Jesus be cursing rich people for having their comfort already? Let's look at another scripture. Now turn to John chapter 14. Am I getting your wheels to turn a little bit? Are you thinking a little bit? I hope you are. John 14, verse 16. He says, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and I will give you another comforter. That literally means comforter. It's translated helper, but it's the same exact word that Paul used in 2 Corinthians 1. Wow, it's called helper. And now, well, we're getting a little more ideas here about what comfort might really mean. So I'm going to give you four things that I think the Bible is saying of what a comforter is. First thing, comfort is prophecy. Comfort is prophecy. What is prophecy? Prophecy is giving you the word of the Lord personally. Let me say that again. What is prophecy? Is giving you the word of the Lord personally. That means it's not just someday the Bible is going to, this is going to happen, or that's going to happen, or something's going to happen. No, no, no. This is a word of God that is for you. So prophecy is a personal word. It's a word that deals with this person. Not just anybody, not just anything. It's not a general thing. So what are you saying that for? Well, in Acts chapter 4, there's a little hint about this. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Guy named Barney. Now, how many of you knew that the word Barney, or the name Barney, now I'm thinking of, you know, Barney Fife. But his name was named after a guy in the Bible named Barnabas. Barnabas was a man in the scripture who was the man who literally launched the Apostle Paul into ministry. He was the man who knew what was going on. He was a well-known apostle, not of the original 12, but he was well-known amongst the original apostles because of who he was. As a matter of fact, they had a nickname for him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 36, thus Joseph, that was his name, his given name, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas. Well, what is Barnabas? Well, Barnabas means son of comfort. Same exact word that Jesus used in John chapter 14. Same exact word that Paul used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The God of all comfort could also be put encouragement. It could also be strengthening. But I want to say it means prophecy. Comfort means a personal word of the Lord for you. Okay, that's what it means. Why? Well, if you took the word Barnabas and translated Barnabas, it means Bar, son of Nabi. What's Nabi mean? Prophet. Yeah, son of prophet. So the Hebrew son of prophet is translated by Luke, the writer of Acts, son of comfort. So comfort is prophecy in the minds of the apostles. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about somebody that can make you feel comfortable. As a matter of fact, sometimes prophecy makes you very uncomfortable. It kind of gets you. It kind of speaks to you. It kind of gets at your heart. Prophecy is a word of the Lord that gets through to you. And sometimes it makes you wonder. Prophecy is when God speaks to you and you don't really even understand all of it, but you know that somebody has got your attention. Prophecy is that kind of word. It's when God gets your focus and says, hey, there's something that you need to hear from my heart to your heart. That's prophecy. Don't think of prophecy as some kind of prediction of some kind of event or some kind of thing that, like a fairy tale or some kind of thing you get from a game or something like that, you know. But prophecy is God himself speaking to your heart, the son of comfort, as a prophet. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4, and we'll see another example of comfort being connected to the prophetic word or the word of prophecy. Romans 15, 4, I'm reading out of the ESV, for whatever was written in former days. Now, who wrote these things in the Bible? Prophets. Moses was a prophet. He wrote the first five books. He was a prophet. He wrote these things down. It was written for our instruction that through endurance and through the comfort of the scriptures. That word encouragement, translated encouragement, is the same exact word as comfort. And so what do the scriptures do for you? They instruct you, but they also speak to your heart where you're at. They're not just like do this, do that. They get a hold of you. It's a prophetic word that just grabs you, that breaks through to you, that makes you stand out, that grabs you, that makes you special. I mean, I can give you so many examples of this. So it says that through the comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and comfort, there it is again, give you to live in such harmony with another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that you together may with one voice praise God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and welcome other people. There's something about the prophetic word of the Lord that brings us together. Because I know that when God has spoken to me, my life has changed. I will never be the same. I am not the same. There's something about it. And then God will bring me to somebody who I've never met before. They've had the same experience. And there's a bond. There's a connection I have with someone without even hardly meeting them. Why? Because we have both been comforted by the Lord. We've been comforted. We've had an encounter with God by His Word. And it's changed us. It's God has spoken to us for who we are, to us. It's not just a prediction. God's comfort is what the Scripture is all about. But in American history, if you like history, I love history. In the early days of America, the word repent, it was almost like, I'm going to get you so scared of what's going on right now that if you don't stop what you're doing, you're going to burn in hell. And I'm going to warn you, and you better stop. Just quit it. Repent. Repent means cut it out. It means be afraid. Repent means do what I tell you to. Repent. And to me, that was kind of what I would call really old school repent, right? Jonathan Edwards, where people were literally sinners in the hands of the angry God. God used it, but people were literally holding onto their chairs for fear of slipping into eternal fire. And you can scare people into the kingdom. And the reason why people use fear is because it works. You get an outward response. If you can get people scared, it's called hysteria. In psychological terms, you basically convince people and get them so scared about stuff that they literally, I'm just going to give an example of hysteria. I remember being at a school really close here. I'm not in Martinsville. But I remember when an hysterical rumor got out in the school that there was a white man, this school was about 50% black, 50% white, that there was some white KKKer out there in the woods getting ready to shoot any black kid that stepped out there. And that school went into lockdown because the kids were so hysteric. So don't tell me that fear doesn't work. I've seen it work. I've been in situations where people were doing stupid, crazy stuff out of fear. And by golly, that is not going to happen in any church I'm going to be in. Amen. Or any place. I'm going to call it out for what it is. We don't play that. And God doesn't play that way. The devil plays that way. God, what is it now? Did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a... And I want you to know something. Repentance is not messing with people's minds and making them paranoid and fearful about things. When God wants them saved, the fear of the Lord is actually the beginning of wisdom. Yes, the fear of God is clean. The fear of God is healthy. There is a clean fear of the Lord that is good for you.
That's good.
So the fear of the Lord is something you want to have. And it won't make you paranoid. And it won't control and manipulate you. You'll do it because you're smart.
Amen.
Repentance is not fear. And repentance is not a... this is another phase in American history that you really see with Dwight Moody and others. It's like a sales presentation. How many of you know that there are guys out there that can basically sell you anything? And the only way for you to stop them from selling you something is literally to walk away because they're that good. I think it breaks the heart of God. Why do people do it? Because it works. It works. It does. So what everything now is a decision. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision. Just say yes to God. Say yes to God. Say yes to God. Say yes to God. How many people say yes? Raise your hand. Stand up. Sit down. Bow your head. Whatever. Say yes. Whatever you do, say yes. It's all decision, 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 decision. And that's the presentation. Before then it was, do what I say, do what I say, do what I say, do what I say. Repent, repent, repent. Feel bad, feel bad, feel bad. Do this so you feel better. That was the one kind. And another kind is decide, decide. Yes, yes, yes. Do what I say. Sign right here, blah, blah, blah. It's all done. Okay, now you're saved. You see what I'm saying? Just, and so everything is called a decision for Christ. Do we really want a decision for Christ? Yes, we want a decision for Christ. But is that really what repentance is? Is that really it? That's not, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I believe that God wants to comfort us with repentance. Repentance can also be presented as like a mind-changing concept. You know? That we get from like your Eastern thinkers, your New Agers and stuff like that. If you just repeat it enough, your brain will no longer see what you're seeing. If you just say it enough, you won't really be feeling that pain. If you just change the way you perceive things, it's all about manipulating your mind. That is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It is New Age teaching that says that reality is only what the way you make it. And that if you just imagine reality different, guess what happens to reality? It changes. So you change reality by thinking about it differently. That is not faith. It is not the gospel. It is not truth. It is not repentance. Don't just try to change the way you think of things. Yeah. Abraham, considering the fact that his body was just about dead, gave glory to God. Did Abraham confess? It says he considered it. He actually kept in mind just how old he was when the miracle happened. He wasn't saying, I'm a young man, I'm a young man, I'm a young man. He didn't do that. He said, I'm old. Things don't work like they used to. He's telling the truth about his situation, and God did it. His faith was not dependent on his convincing himself or saying something. Our faith is on the power of God. Amen. It is not on man manipulating the way he thinks. My gospel, Paul said, is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And you don't have to play games with your mind. You don't have to scare yourself into doing the wrong thing. And you don't have to put a heavy-duty sales presentation to get people to do what you want them to do. Amen. You trust God and His power. And we're going to find out what repentance really is. What is it? Isaiah chapter 40 says this. Verse 1. Comfort. Comfort my people. That Hebrew word is the exact same word for repent. It's the same word. The word repent means comfort. The word repent is something more than just these other things. It is not simply changing your mind. It is not simply being afraid. It is not simply making a decision. Isaiah 41, comfort, comfort my people. Speak comfortably, tenderly, and tell them what's going on. And when John the Baptist preached the gospel, this scripture was quoted about him. And if you look in Genesis chapter 6:6, the name of Noah means comfort, which is the Hebrew word for repent. How many of you knew that Noah meant repent? It's the same word in Genesis 5:29. It says, God repented of his decision But I repent that I put man on the earth like this. It's the same word, comfort and repent. So I'm challenging you today. I'm challenging you today. Think of repentance differently. Think of it as it is in the Bible. Don't let your American culture tell you what repent really means. Get it from the Word of God. Get it from the Scripture. What does the Bible say about comfort? What does the Bible say about repentance? And it's not only those things. What does it really mean? Now, I'm going to give you the third thing. Comfort is seeing Jesus. Comfort is prophecy. Comfort is repentance. Comfort is seeing Jesus. I will give you another comforter. All right, praise God. It says, this is a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the comfort of Israel. So what was he waiting for? The Scripture says consolation, but it's the same exact word for comfort. He was waiting. Who was the comfort of Israel? Jesus. So, comfort is prophecy. Comfort is repentance. Comfort is seeing Jesus. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Amen. This is what happened to your daddy. He got to see Jesus before he saw death. Amen. And he was comforted. And he repented. Yes. And he received a prophetic word just for him. I get to see Jesus before I go. Amen. And that's my desire for everybody. Amen. I got to see Jesus when I was 17 years old. And I was comforted then. And so here Simeon makes this beautiful confession. I'd like to have that said at my funeral. Amen. Now let your servant, look what he said. Now let your servant, Lord, depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation in the presence of his people. What a gorgeous, beautiful word. Now let your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for mine eyes have seen your Yeshua. Jesus' name means salvation. He is using the name of Jesus. What a beautiful scripture. Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Shalom. Right? According to your Rema, for my eyes have seen your Yeshua, that you have prepared in the presence of all the nations, a light for revelation to the nations and glory for your people Israel. Now let your servant depart in shalom. Amen. We speak that over. We just declare that over Josh's daddy, Kenny. The greatest thing you could ever see is Jesus, ever.
Amen.
And that's comfort. Yes. That's what comfort is. Do you see how much better that is than just being afraid?
Yeah.
Do you see how much better it is than getting your mind to think to say the right things or to make a decision? Do you see how much better it is than just making a decision for Christ?
Yeah.
Come on. Notice that comfort comes upon us. The Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him. And then he himself moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Three activities of the Holy Spirit. Comfort comes upon us. When we think of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, I want you to think of a dove coming upon you, just like it came on Jesus. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing greatness belongs to God and not to us. That surpassing greatness, that treasure, is the comfort of God. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. And we who live are always being given over to death in Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Because we have the comfort of the Holy Spirit in us. And Paul calls it treasure in your clay pot. Sorry, guys. We're all just a bunch of clay pots here. We're just who we are. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's called Comfort is Salvation, Yeshua. Comfort is Jesus. And then last but not least is comfort is salvation. So we had comfort is, first thing, prophecy. Come on, y'all knew that. Let me try that again. Comfort is?
Prophecy.
Second thing, comfort is?
Repentance.
Third thing, comfort is? Jesus. Fourth thing is, comfort is?
Salvation.
So we've got prophecy, repentance, Jesus, salvation. Salvation is Jesus. It is. Salvation, being saved, is Jesus in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I want to ask you a question before I read it. This is a big theological question. When did Peter get saved? A lot of theologians like to argue about that. When did they really get saved?
The same time everyone else got saved.
That's a safe answer.
When the work was done on the cross.
Okay. When was Peter? Okay, good. All right. I believe that Peter got saved when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus on the top. There was a lot of encounters that Peter had with Jesus, but there's only one encounter that Peter mentions in his writings as a significant encounter, and it's right here. Why? He didn't talk about the miracle of the fish. He didn't talk about anything else. He didn't refer to the time that Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't say that either. He didn't talk about any of those other experiences. The only experience he talked about was what? This one right here. Why? I want us to think of salvation this way, and I want us to think of comforting as that way. Because there are times when I had God encounters before I got saved. But I wasn't saved. I believe this was the event that Peter never forgot, that he, for him, that was the most important time. And yes, because he said to them, okay? And the fact is that we don't see salvation this way. But then I look back at my own salvation experience, I said, well, that's kind of how I got saved. I heard the voice of Jesus, and it's like I heard it for myself,
right,
for the first time.
Yeah.
And it changed me, and I was never the same. And I never went back. I never went back. I screwed up, but I never went back.
It's
so incredibly personal. It's so incredibly powerful. It is so incredibly dynamic. It's so incredibly no questions. It isn't really dependent on the person ministering. So it wasn't like I was impressed with his preaching. I wasn't. I was just the opposite. Opposite. Why? Because this treasure that we have, the glory does not belong to us. It's got to belong to God.
Amen.
It can't be because I'm a great preacher. It can't be because I've got an awesome church. It can't be because I've devised this incredible story to change you or to convince you or to scare you. It can't be because you're making your mind think the right thoughts. It's not any of that. It can't be anything that you could say, I did this, therefore I deserve something for it. If it isn't only God, and if it is only Jesus doing it, if it isn't the voice of God coming out of His glory, if you aren't being carried by the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at this.
Amen.
Then it isn't anything that anybody wants you to have. I don't want you to have anything other than that. I want God to literally pick you up. And I could have done that with Bryson today in the message, but I wanted to hold it. Come here, Bryson. I want to show you what this is all about. Can you hold this mic for me? Now we saw that if your life is built on the rock, thank you. If you're in the wrong place, I can easily throw you off balance. Good. And if you're not standing properly, if you're not, it's standing, hold, pick up one leg. Now look, I can get them easy, but that's not salvation. This is salvation.
That's good.
Now, where can he go? It's no longer his activity anymore.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Powerful.
Amen. It's good.
This
Amen.
Is comfort.
Yeah.
The lost sheep.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot harder than it was last year. Trust me.
That's a great illustration, Pastor.
That's my brother.
Pick up Rowan.
And you're going to see it right in the scripture. That's why Peter mentioned this passage. He said, God carried him. God carried him and picked him up. It wasn't his strength. It wasn't his ability. It wasn't a miracle. It wasn't any of that stuff. I mean, I want signs and wonders. It makes an impact. But you'll see it right here. It says that men of old were carried and picked up by the Holy Spirit. They were no longer in control. That's what the word of the Lord is all about. That's what really brings people to salvation. It's like, you know, it's not the resistance. It doesn't even cross your mind. You just get blasted in and like, you're there. And I just can't express this. This is the only way I'm expressing it. And Peter, it tries to express it this way. This is why he talks about his experience on the mountain different. He's the only expression. He says, this is what happened. This is what changed me. This is why I'm not the same. This is why you have to get this. Because there are people now like the enemy likes to glorify the fact that there are Christians who are falling away. Oh yeah, they like to put that in the news. They like to trumpet how people fail. Well, I believe they didn't have a foundation to begin with. And we're not doing something we need to be doing with people. We're not giving them what they really need to give. We've had an effectiveness by packing churches the wrong way. And then we get shocked when people fall away.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good word.
So, I'm going to read it. Look at this. For we did not follow sophisticated stories. Sophizo, it's the word Sophie, but it means clever. Devise myth. It's the word myth. And God help us. God forgive us as church people create myths to get people to come to church. Clever myths about Jesus. Clever stories to track, to pull people in. Look, I like writing plays. I think we have some awesome plays we did here. But they're just the gateway for you. We're not following that, you know, that stuff. I'm not here to be clever, to find a clever way to get you to come. We don't follow these clever myths. And that's what he calls other religions. They're good. They're sophisticated. They will track people. He says, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said that I got saved because Jesus came to me in a powerful way. That's how I got saved. Not because of someone's clever myth or story. Amen. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. That's my heart for every person in this room. Every person I minister. Every person I get to. Now I want you to see this. Okay, I want you to see the word, just like the word comfort before. Look how Peter uses the word carried. Or born, B-O-R-N-E, or carried. That word born means carried up, okay? For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice that was born to him, this is my beloved, for we were with him on the holy mountain, and we have this prophetic word. I love this. Prophetic word. There it is again. Comfort is the prophetic word. Right here. More fully confirmed. That word confirmed there means guaranteed, established, settled. Notice, he had no more questions about the scripture. It's done. I know who Jesus is. It's done. I have no questions. It's confirmed. To which you will do well to pay attention to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing first of all that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own understanding or interpretation or explanation. For no prophecy was ever carried by the will of man. The people who wrote the Scriptures were the people that were picked up and carried by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we follow. Thank you. Amen. You can sit down. I bore it to him. Right? I carried it to him. And God literally picked up these writers. And they didn't generate the words out of their own will. Right. Do you realize that? They didn't. And there are times I wish I could say more than less. There are times when God will use you and he's going to literally pick you up and you'll say words and you go, how did I say that? Right. I don't know what I just said, but it just came out of my mouth. Yeah, that's what changes people. That's what changes people. And you may be quoting a scripture. I was in a meeting one time where this guy quoted more scripture. I knew there was no way he could know the Bible like this. He didn't. He was quoting passages from memory that he never memorized. That's no problem for God. I'll never forget it. And he did it for 20 minutes straight. Nonstop. Just quoted scripture. Preached. He was a janitor. I know what God can do. And that's the kind of salvation, and that's what comfort is all about. Do you see what comfort is? Comfort's more than making you feel good. Comfort is more than getting you to smile when you're down. Comfort is more than just having a nice chair to sit in or to be undisturbed, like when I think of comfort, sitting in my easy chair, get the remote, don't talk to me, right? That's not the comfort that God's talking about. Comfort is when God delivers Jesus to you and you're saved. And it's not because of your will. It's because of Him. It's because of Him. And so let's pray right now. Father God, we just pray right now, Lord, in the midst of my talk, in the midst of my sharing my experience and sharing the Word of God, we thank you, Lord, that the Word of God was not produced by the will of man, but these people that produced that Word of God, the Bible, they were literally picked up and carried by the Holy Spirit, and they wrote these words down. And Father, even Peter experienced a salvation that was not due to any one particular thing other than the comfort of the Holy Spirit coming to him in the voice of God that was carried to him personally and delivered to him while he saw Jesus. He saw salvation. And as Simeon saw salvation before he could depart, Father, we pray that we would walk in that kind of salvation. Lord, we would walk in that kind. Lord, even though we're going to make decisions for you, we say our salvation is not just a decision. Amen. And Lord, we say that even though we're going to think good thoughts, thinking good thoughts is not just salvation. And Lord, even though we're going to do the right things, we declare that just doing the right things is not salvation. We say that Jesus is salvation. We say that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is Christ Jesus in us and upon us and moving through us. And Lord, we're asking, Lord, I'm asking for every single person in this room to have an encounter with the Comforter. The Comforter. An encounter with the Comforter as Peter had an encounter with the Comforter on that mountain. That it changed him so much that he wrote about it again as one of the last things he ever wrote about. Lord, we declare it. We declare revival. We declare revival and a move of the Holy Spirit. We declare, Lord God, a coming of Jesus and a coming of His presence that will bring salvation because of an encounter, because of the hearing of the voice of glory, because of being carried by the Holy Spirit. Father, we say, Lord, do it quickly. Lord, in this town, in our lives, and people that we know and love, we want to see them. We want to see the people that we love have this kind of encounter with God. And Lord, we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We did confess it. We confess it that Jesus Christ is Lord. We confess faith in our heart. But Lord, we know that there would be no faith in our heart and no confession if it wasn't for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's so much more than what we say. It's so much more than what we think. It's so much more than what we do. It is not about us. Amen. It is not about us. It's about you. Amen. It's about you. Not my will, Jesus said on the mountain. Not my will, nevertheless, but yours be done. And Father, we're asking you to change our thinking about what repentance is. Change our thinking about what comfort is. Change our thinking about what salvation is so that we can be more like what the Word says. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I'm praying that every one of us will be people that know how to shepherd encounters, that we will be comforters to others. Come on, Lord. Make us that way, Lord. Make us that way, Lord. Help us to be that kind of people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to bless you with the blessing of Simeon, okay? The blessing of Simeon. But your departing is not departing this life, but departing this room, okay? Okay, here we go. I'm going to do it. Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, your Yeshua, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people, Israel.
Jubilee, this is the year of Jubilee. Lame now walk, blind now see. This is the year of Jubilee.